You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Welcome to March, by the way, spring in the air now here across the Southland. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday, March 4th, and I think we have another good show lined up for you this evening. Looking back on the guests of the last 3 weeks, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, Henrik Palmgren, Lana Lochtef, and more. Tonight, Bill Johnson of the American Freedom Party will be our featured guest. He'll be coming up in the second hour. We're going to talk about a variety of topics. But first hour comes before number two, as we all know. And we're going to be offering our opinions and analysis on Trump's de facto State of the Union address. I think they called it officially his joint address to Congress. We're going to talk about the attacks on Jeff Sessions, and much more this hour with the one and only Keith Alexander. The great Keith, how are you?
I'm hanging in like Gunga Din, my buddy. Friend, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. Busy things going on in my personal life, as you know. Busy but good, all good things. And so I'm actually on the road tonight and out of the studio. Keith, I am connected via our connection to the studio. Keith back home in Memphis holding down the home front. And I'll be back home hopefully Sunday if all goes, knock on wood, you know what I mean. But anyway, Keith, when we were brainstorming earlier this week about what we would talk about, the joint address to Congress that Trump delivered was something that we said we needed to spend a little time giving some treatment to. And to me, it you know, there have been, this is a unique situation in that it has received a variety of critiques from across even our spectrum, and I'll give you just a few examples. Pat Buchanan gave it pretty strong remarks. He said in this speech, Trump proved that the Republican Party was his party now. Buchanan was right in that during the speech, all of these cucked Republicans were standing up and cheering and giving full-throated endorsements to Trump's measure on the wall, although these same Republicans just a few years ago were considering amnesty. When Trump spoke up in favor of crushing these so-called free trade partnerships like NAFTA and TPP, they all stood up and cheered, where, of course, before Trump, they were all free traders and globalists. So he has remade, in some ways, the Republican Party in his image, and these people who would have never taken the actions Trump has taken are now cheering Trump for the actions he has taken. So it just goes to show, once something's in power, everyone will fall in line, and that's always been our theory. On the other hand, people like Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent have gone so far as to call it an anti-white speech and a conservative, a cucked speech by Trump. Richard Spencer fell somewhere in the middle, saying it was good, not great. Okay, not great. Where do you fall in line on those three ports of call? Where would you line up at?
Well, probably in the middle too, because we understand that Trump is not one of us and is not going to, even if he were, he can't afford politically to be forthright about certain issues. You know, the two big taboos that we tackle on this show that puts us apart from the rest of the mainstream media are, of course, race and Jewish power and influence. And on both of those, nobody can tell a difference between Donald Trump and George W. Bush. You know, if anything, Trump, you know, wears his credentials on his sleeve even more than George W. Bush about how pro-black and how pro-Israeli he is. You know, you would never have heard Bush coming out with such zeal on both of these things. On the other hand, does that mean that American Jews are going to vote for him, that American blacks are going to vote for him? Of course not. That's why I've said in earlier programs, I really think he's being suckered by the Jews and the blacks, because they're going to get every ounce of lagniappe they can get out of him. For example, the historically black colleges and universities are, you know, going to, you know, have their rice bowls out to be filled to the brim and more and more and more and yet more. Likewise, Israel will be getting all the money, all of the military secrets and all the military hardware that their hearts desire from him. But does that mean that he's going to get more than a teacup full of Jewish or black votes? No, he's not. And what politics is it's the art of rewarding your supporters and not rewarding people that oppose you. When you start rewarding people that oppose you more than you reward your supporters, you are courting disaster. And in a way, that's what Trump is doing, because the people that were with him first and foremost, you know, they were Trump supporters before being a Trump supporter was cool, are white Southerners. But the silence was deafening as to any special thing he was going to do to help white Southerners. He talked about infrastructure jobs up north. He talked about union jobs and high-paying manufacturing sector jobs in the Rust Belt. But the silence was deafening about what he was going to do down here in Brad Griffin, Keith Alexander, and James Edwards territory. But, you know, I really feel that a rising tide lifts all boats. I think it's going to be good for America if he stays in office. But the thing that is really alarming is I see the storm clouds gathering. There's no doubt about it. They're intending a replay of Watergate. They are going to go after him to impeach him. And they're setting up all the groundwork for it. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit later, too. But it's, you know, there's no doubt that this has already been plotted and planned, and that, you know, getting Jeff Sessions to recuse himself but not resign is just another victory that whets their appetite by tossing a bloody bone to a bulldog.
We're going to get to the Jeff Sessions situation. That is a separate but also, of course, related topic, and we're going to get to that in just a second. With regard to the Trump address to Congress, I listened to the whole thing after the fact. I listened to it on my drive out of town. I listened to it from the first second to the last. And, of course, I had to take note. We said we would do this with Trump. You know, we're making good on our pledge. When he does things we like, we're going to be supporters, and we're going to give him credit. And when he does things that cause us pause and some concern, we're going to air that out equally. And, of course, I took notice that the first thing Trump did, the first words out of his mouth were to issue a proclamation on Black History Month. And he can say anything about Black History Month he wants, but he's never going to get more than the single-digit percentage of the vote of the black community, and those are the people who mistakenly pulled the lever for the wrong candidate. But there was something that he did right after that that's equally concerning, and then we'll talk about some of the good stuff before we get into Sessions. We're just getting started on this. We're going to continue to talk about the Trump joint address to Congress when TPC continues after this first break of the evening here on the Liberty News Radio Network. James and Keith with you here for the first hour. We will continue.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke, and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking, and I've, like, tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking, because my mom sends those things out. And she's, like, sitting here folding them up, and I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong, and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, as I mentioned, I'm on the road presently and just lost my direct connection to the studio, so I'm here calling in on the phone. If my audio sounds a little bit different, your ears are not deceiving you, but Keith's still back at home with the good studio connection.
James.
All right, good, good. Well, what I was going to say is, so after he came out, we're talking about Trump's joint session to Congress again. After he came out and did the offering to Black History Month. Then he went on to talk about the so-called hate crimes against the Jewish community. And, of course, anyone who's been following the story knows that there were a couple of instances where some Jews received some crank call. And I think there was even an incident where a couple of tombstones were knocked over. Now, we don't like that. That's not what we're about. But it is hardly a matter for the president to address immediately in the biggest political speech of his life. I think to date, this joint address to Congress supersedes any political speech he's given, and it was probably his largest audience, maybe only second to the inauguration, but maybe even bigger than the inauguration. So to come out of the gate and do a Black History Month proclamation and then talk about the crimes against the hate against the Jewish community because a couple of prank calls have been made. And then, of course, it turned out that the person behind whatever was going on in that community was a Black Muslim, and so I'm sure that story is going to dissipate right quick. But that's how Trump started it off. It did get better from there. There were a lot of good things about his speech, but I'll let you take it from there, Keith.
Well, you're absolutely right. He gave prominence to a non-news story, a fake news story, basically, which is what this anti-Semitic tidal wave, as it's portrayed, is. It's lying press at its best. The fellow that they've actually tagged with one of these so-called hate-filled calls is named Juan Thompson from the St. Louis area. He is a Black guy who had a non-black girlfriend, apparently, and in order to get back at her, was trying to frame her by making these, phone calls threatening violence against Jews. And Juan Thompson is a Muslim. He is black. And, you know, you have to look to alt-right news media in order to get those facts. I've heard him called Juan Thompson, but no mainstream media outlet has yet told us that he is black, that he is a Muslim, and that basically this whole thing was some type of payback to try to get his ex-girlfriend in trouble. Now, you know, if that's something for, you know, to preempt the rest of, you know, Trump's speech, you know, first State of the Union message, in order to put that at the very beginning of it, quite frankly, that's pandering that is worthy of a John McCain or a Mitt Romney. That's kind of crazy. You know, it's time for Donald Trump to say, look, white people are not the problem when it comes to terrorism. The problem when it comes to terrorism are Muslims. Anti-Semitic terrorism is not the problem. It's the problem is terrorism targeting the lives of average American citizens, most of whom are white. This is the truth. Now, whether Trump will tell us the truth on that, I don't know. I'm afraid he's getting too much advice from his Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his daughter, who is converted to Judaism now. But, you know, all of that being what it is, there were a lot of awfully good things that he covered in his speech. I just wish that he, it's not a good instinct to try to reward your enemies and to have nothing to say about your strongest supporters. That's the one problem I had with his speech. On the other hand, most of the particular issues that he got onto were great. Now, I'm not particularly interested in starting a new set of wars in the Middle East. He needs to get back on track about Russia. As long as he is scared off of Russia, that's going to be the sledgehammer that they're holding behind their back. That's how they intend to try to get him impeached. But, you know, he needs to basically come to the conclusion that the rest of us have here at the cesspool, which is that the left, liberalism, is the modern face of evil. These people are sheer, unadulterated evil that are going after him. There are enough of these fifth columnists in the Republican Party that are just licking their chops to jump in on him. Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and surprisingly enough, I was talking with Sam Bushman about this before the show. They have a Jewish congressman, if you can believe this, or he may even be a senator from Utah, called Jason Chaffetz. And he, of course, is lining up, with all of the leftists in the Democratic Party and the few leftists that are in the Republican Party, at least in high elected office in Congress, calling for the recusal of Jeff Sessions. He supported the firing of General Flynn, and he's also, holding back judgment, but leaving the possibility open that Sessions may, the best thing would be for him to be fired or to leave the office, which of course would be an unmitigated disaster. It's like throwing, red meat to a starving lion. You don't want to embolden our enemies. And that's what I'm most concerned about, is that somebody needs to tell him that he needs to adopt the political cesspool's motto of no retreat, no surrender, no apology.
Basically, and to be fair, he has been fine. He has
you know, it's sort of like what we were asking Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald the other day. Do you judge Trump against our standards, or do you judge Trump against what you would have gotten with Hillary or the cucked Republican establishment standards? So depending on who you're judging him against, he either does very good or probably not as good as we would like, but still very good realistically when compared to what we would have had and what the alternative was. Now, we were talking
but
about...
things are getting real serious, though, now, James. We need to understand this.
No, no, you're right.
The long knives are out for the Democrats and for the liberals. And this is no time for half measures. This is no time for reaching across the aisle. This is a time for, you know, taking the gloves off. Trump is not in, you know, a powder puff derby. He's in there in a cage match, no holds barred, and one either he's going to crawl out alive or liberalism in all of its horror will be inflicted upon us without any restraints whatsoever. This is a death match between him and them.
Eddie and I were talking about in that controversial segment a couple of weeks ago with the Alien and Seditions Act. You're right. The battles are finished now because we're in the 11th hour. I thought overall, then we're going to talk about Sessions in the next segment. Overall, I would give the speech a 6 out of 10.
I might even go high. I might give him a 7 out of 10.
Talk about Sessions and then George Bush. Well, there's so many of them. But it's the George Bush, the second George W. Bush. He is taking cucking to a new level. We'll tell you about it also.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Mem Fox, a 71-year-old Australian children's book author, has made the long flight from her home country to the United States over 100 times and had never previously experienced anything remotely like her encounter with a customs officer at LAX on February 6th. In an interview with The New Yorker, Fox describes how she felt immediate aggression from the female customs officer. The official asked the familiar questions about Fox's business in the U.S. and whether she would be compensated for it. Fox explained that she was traveling to Milwaukee to be the keynote speaker at a conference on children's literacy and that she was receiving a modest stipend to cover her traveling expenses. She was then escorted to a holding room containing about 20 people. Each of the room's occupants was taken into a small booth for questioning, which was aggressive and confrontational. When her turn came, she was interrogated by a young man who addressed her with so much insolence I was rocked, the elderly author recalled. He told me that I was traveling on my visa illegally, which I knew not to be correct, but I was not about to argue, she explains, eventually making the despairing comment that this would probably be her last trip to the United States anyway. That remark prompted another fusillade of verbal abuse from the customs official, who barked out demands to know about the titles and contents of her books. I felt myself blind with rage that a young man could speak so arrogantly and impolitely to an old woman, Fox wrote in her journal. She didn't speak of her experience until she got home to Australia out of fear of being detained in the United States. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so Trump certainly said some good things about the wall. Trump said some other things that I could certainly get behind. So I hope we're not focusing too much on the negatives out of that speech, because I don't like when people do that. I mean, because we get that even with our program from some of our listeners. They'll listen for 5 years and agree with everything we say. And then when we say something they disagree with, well, that's what gets the email from them. that's when we hear from them.
But on the other hand, James, let me just say this.
We want to be balanced. It was a disappointment by Trump standards. He did double down on the wall. Could have been worse. Certainly could have been better. There is an argument saying that, you know, in an address like that, you play the game. You speak with your inside voice. It doesn't matter what he says, judging by what he does. I get all that. But what was interesting about his joint address to Congress was that the opinions on it were quite varied. And I gave three examples: Buchanan, Richard Spencer, Hunter Wallace, Brad Griffin. And then I think Keith and I, we've covered this, I think, adequately. We fall somewhere in the middle. If you didn't see it, we're going to post it to our website on Monday, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can check it out there and watch it in its entirety. Now, on to Sessions, Keith, because that's something else we wanted to talk about. So the enemies of the American people, the press, the Democrats, and even some Republicans that haven't fallen on board with Trump, have set a precedent now, apparently. I was watching, flipping through, and saw CNN talking about this Sessions Russia controversy. Now, if this isn't fake news, there's no such thing. So they got General Flynn's head by saying he talked to a Russian before he had assumed his office, and so his head rolled. And now they're saying, oh, well, look, Jeff Sessions talked to a Russian before he was in his position, and I guess that's supposed to be a bad thing. I mean, was he giving them our nuclear secrets, or what's going on here?
Well, look, we've got to stop hating on the Russians, and we need to stop tolerating people that do. Russia is
Absolutely.
A much more likely candidate for long-term, as a long-term ally and a helpful, useful ally to the United States of America than, for example, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Mexico, China, any of these other non-white countries. We need Russia on our side. We have much more in common with the Russians than we do with any of those other nations. And we need to realize it. Basically, this Russia phobia that the left is trying to tap into is a relic of the Cold War. Hello, newsflash, folks. The Cold War is over. We had a Cold War back in the 50s and 60s and 40s, basically because Russia was a communist, Marxist nation. Now, Russia has gotten rid of its communist government, and it is run by people who are Christian nationalists. As I've said before, I never thought I'd see the day when Russia was ruled by a Christian nationalist and the United States of America under Obama was ruled by a Marxist globalist. But that's exactly what we had. But we had these holdovers like McCain and his little mini-me, Lindsey Graham, acting as if nothing has changed from 1965 regarding Russia and regarding the United States. And we need to call them out on that. This is, basically what they're trying to do is, you know, just think about this. In 1966, the Golden Globe Award for Best Motion Picture was a movie produced and directed by the appropriately named Norman Jewison, starring Alan Arkin, Theodore Bakel, Jonathan Winters, people like that, Brian Keith, called The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. in which the left was mocking Russophobia in the right, particularly John Birch Society types. And now they've jumped on the Russophobic bandwagon, and they're using this. This is the cross they intend to nail Donald Trump to. This is, they've linked it up in their own minds with Hillary Clinton's defeat. The only thing that was done by whoever hacked those emails was give the American people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about what Hillary, John Podesta, Huma Abedin, and others were actually saying in texting to one another. No one has come out and said any of this was false. They're going to, and if they can basically, they're like a bunch of predators like lions or wolves or tigers trying to get a herd of bovine beasts to stampede. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get us to stampede and basically jump over a cliff. And the more reaction they get, the more they get a recusal from somebody accused of being, of talking with the Russians in the Trump camp, or somebody is fired or resigns. All this does is whet their appetite. They're going after the Attorney General, again, an exact replay of Watergate. Remember, they got rid of John Mitchell, who was Nixon's Attorney General, basically hounded him from office. And the reason they did it was they didn't want Nixon's man in charge of the prosecution. Now the guy that would be in charge of it is an Obama holdover, which is just what they want. The next best thing to having the special prosecutor, and again, they'll probably wind up with a special prosecutor, some little bow-tied twerp from the Ivy League like Archibald Cox was in the Watergate impeachment. And they have enough of these turncoat fifth columnist Republicans that they can get the 51 votes they need to start an impeachment trial. And if they can basically stampede these cucks like this Jason Chaffetz of Utah and have them join into the fray, they are going to basically, at the very least, they're just going to keep Trump so busy trying to fight off the alligators that he can't enact his agenda. And worst of all would be to get him to resign like they got Richard Nixon to do. I think that Trump is coming around to, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago I suggested that the White House might be bugged, and Sean Bergen said...
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up. I was talking about this before the show also.
Yeah, he was telling me that was a fantastic conspiracy theory. Now, Trump has said that he thinks that Trump Tower was bugged, and I'm sure one of the reasons he's hanging out at Mar-a-Lago is that there's a very good possibility that the White House is bugged, and he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want everybody to hear, you know, to be eavesdropping on everything that's said or done in the White House. And furthermore, he needs to be where people love him. Manhattan, only 18% of the voters in Manhattan voted for Trump. Less than that voted for him in Washington, D.C. Why would he want to set up camp in enemy territory? He needs to be down here in Red State America, and he needs to realize that Red State Americans are his best friend, particularly white Red State Americans.
Well, and this is another thing that I failed to mention. Keith, I appreciate, by the way, I want to announce to the audience, I appreciate Keith holding court as much as he is with me being on the road tonight and having trouble connecting to the studio via the secure line and me calling in now on a cell phone. My audio is not quite as good. Keith's pretty much running the program right now. But, yes, this was another thing you just mentioned. Yes, Trump needs to remember that. And that's another thing. And Trump did this in his, again, it was technically a joint address to Congress, but it was essentially a State of the Union address. He certainly made mention of what he was going to do for the blacks, what he was going to do for the Hispanics, what he was going to do for the Jews. But certainly in this speech, as with every speech he's ever given, there has never once been a mention of what he's going to do for the people who actually voted for him, the whites, particularly the white Southerners and the white Christians.
The silence is deafening, as they say.
Well, I mean, again, and we talk about implicit whiteness versus explicit whiteness. I don't hold that against Trump. Again, we judge him by what he does. If Trump can build the wall and keep us out of war with Russia, that will be realistic expectations for his presidency in the first term. If he can do those two things,
but you see what it gets him, though, James. Just think about this. Think about what it gets him. Even the left was praising the speech. A lot of leftists were. A lot of the mainstream news media that had their knives drawn for him were saying it was good. But how long did that last? Not even a day before they started pulling out the long knives and trying to advance this impeachment agenda involving the Russians and the Trump campaign and administration.
Well, you're right, Keith. You're right. They bought him about 30 seconds, and then it was back. Because, again, it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't even matter if Trump carried out their agenda. If he was just their water boy, which, of course, he's not. But even if he was, they wouldn't give him the credit for it. They would still oppose him, just like the Jewish organization. Trump gave that what I thought was a ridiculous amount of time for covering these the Jewish community and the Jews.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Again, apologies for not having the best audio quality right now when you're on the road and it's live radio. Sometimes things happen. There's no place like home, no place like the home studio. But the political cesspool at 75% strength is still 100% better than anything else you're going to find on the AM airwaves this side of the Liberty Roundtable show with Sam Bushman. I can tell you that much. But anyway, we were talking just as I ran into the wall at that last bed and into the commercial break that Trump is always eager to say what he's going to do for these protected minority groups that are never going to vote for him. But certainly we've never heard anything he would do specifically for his base, except for what generically would be good for really all Americans, but especially us, build the wall. I mean, all of his campaign issues are good for white people, but he never presents it as, I'm doing this because it's good for white people, whereas he will say, I'm doing this because it's good for blacks or whomever. And then, of course, the point is, he's never going to get any more votes. If he's just playing the game for whatever reason in that speech, if it in some way helps him push through his policies, I can get behind that. But I don't think
it's going to have that effect.
He made mention of this issue with the Jewish community, and of course it was a black Muslim. But the response from some of these Jewish advocacy groups was not good enough. He didn't go far enough. I mean, what do you want him to do? He came straight out of the gate that his the biggest political speech of his career
but I guess that's not good enough either. James, it was even worse from the black community. There was an article in the Memphis Communist Appeal that said if he doesn't do something to stop Betsy DeVos and strengthen the public schools, all of this stuff that he's going to do for the HBCUs is going to be a waste of time. So, in other words, they've got their votes. I mean, they are pressing him to the wall, and are they offering any votes in return for this? Heck no. Not only no, but heck no. They're never going to vote for him, but he's supposed to turn himself into contortions like some Chinese acrobat to try to please them. He is really coming up on a rough patch. They are planning to take him out. They're using the Watergate-Nixon playbook, and every time that he does the traditional thing, which is to give them half a loaf or to make some type of concession, like a recusal from Jeff Sessions, all that does is whet their appetite for more. It's like throwing a bloody bone to a bulldog or a rabid bulldog.
And I think that he instinctively knows better, because just a few days ago, with regards to the incidents in the Jewish community, he said, well, sometimes it's the other side. It's the other side doing it to stir up a controversy.
And that's exactly what it is.
Not just most, and about 90% of these incidents, it's what we call hate hoaxes. It is the black pastor that's spray painting his church or burning his church down to try to frame white Southerners. It is rabbis or members of the Jewish community that are doing these things.
And getting church money on the side.
Well, of course, not always. In this case, apparently, allegedly, it's a black Muslim. But either way, it wasn't people that the media always wants it to be. It wasn't white Christians that are doing it.
But Trump knows better.
But at the same time, when you are surrounded by cucks, when you are surrounded by people that are giving you bad advice. It's like in the Lord of the Rings Return of the King, where Wormtongue has the ear of King Theoden, and he's decayed and rotted, and only after he rids himself of Wormtongue does he regain his vigor. I think Trump probably has some good advisors, some of them not so good, but none of them as good as they should be. And that's something he's going to have to deal with.
Well, I think also I'm afraid that that's his natural instinct. He's too much a New Yorker, and he's bought into and drunk deeply from the well of liberalism, and a lot of his instincts are, to worship at the shrine of political correctness on issues like race and Jewish power and influence. Now, he needs to understand who his enemies are. Hopefully this will occur to him quickly, because if he doesn't, if he keeps trying to make concessions to the New York / left coast viewpoint, he's going to just walk right into an ambush. And that's what they're hoping that he will do. He will walk into the ambush. If he, he's going to weaken himself. For example, now he's got his attorney general out of the picture so that they can proceed with some type of impeachment proceeding against him. Loretta Lynch never thought about resigning or accusing herself involving the Clintons or anything having to do with the Democratic Party in the election run-up. In fact, she went so far as to meet with the husband of Hillary, Bill Clinton, and they obviously lied about what the topic of the conversation was. They said they're up here talking about how big their children had grown or something like that. Yeah, that's why do you have a 30-minute conversation about that, for crying out loud?
Well, this is the truth. When you are going up against criminally corrupt thugs, like the Trump administration is, when dealing with the press and then the opposition, both in his own party and, of course, across the aisle, it's all of these sullen Democratic women wearing white. They wouldn't stand up for anything, and nothing Trump said, you know, was good enough for him for even a modicum of applause. But when you're dealing with these criminally corrupt, evil people, you have got to be Machiavellian in your approach. You cannot play by the rules against people for whom the rules hold no importance.
Well,
I mean, you do that, you'll lose every time. Number one, you'll have a hand tied behind your back, and then what has this whole movement won? Now, I think we have been probably a little overly negative in our assessment or our treatment of Trump's speech, but that is because, of course, most weeks we're giving a lot of praise, and I think deservedly so. Trump is still, I'm still, you know, look, Trump's fine. I like Trump fine. But and I think he still is going to be quite good, and I'm still eagerly anticipating the things that he will do, and I think we'll be better off in 4 years, certainly, than we were 4 years ago, and certainly much better than we would have been had Hillary been in there. But this is just one speech, so we shouldn't make too big of a deal of it. But I tell you, you keep going down this path, you get in like George W. Bush, who forgot.
Well,
to
worse, yeah,
George...
Richard Nixon. I'm
reading a book right now in our library,
James, called The Gathering Storm. It was written by Winston Churchill. This is prophetic. This is serendipity. That's what Trump is facing, a gathering storm. They're getting all the pieces together, and he needs to wake up, smell the coffee, needs to take the gloves off, needs to make no concessions whatsoever. He needs to fight them. He doesn't need to retreat from the beach back to the beach, to the hedgerows, all the way to the streets and alleys of London, like Winston Churchill said. He needs to fight them at the first opportunity. He needs to make no concessions whatsoever, because it's pretty obvious what's going on. And we're just saying this because we have Trump's best interests at heart. I don't think Trump wants to be hounded out of office, and that's where this whole thing is headed if he doesn't wake up and start fighting back hard soon.
I'm glad you said what you said just then, because I think that brings this hour near to a close, and that what we're saying here is objective criticism. It may be somewhat critical. In this one instance, overall, I mean, we still give him, I think, what was our grade a week ago? A minus, A, B, B minus, B plus. I mean, he's still right there. This speech wasn't his best moment, but it certainly wasn't a disaster that's going to cause us to reassess Trump. What you said is right. We are doing this with his best interests at heart. We offer this advice for what it's worth, take it or leave it.
But what we certainly don't think will happen is he
turned out to be... What happened with George W. Bush this week? So George W. Bush took cuckoldry to a new level. And he first came out and said that the media protects our democracy. Now, the media hated George W. Bush as much, just about as much as they hated Trump, not quite as much, but the media was no friend of the Bush administration, as neocon and horrible as the Bush administration was. But he came out and defended the media this week, and then he doubled down a day or two later. When George Bush is trending on Twitter, you know he's tucking, and he's virtue signaling. Then he came out a day or two later, and he said that the racism of Trump deeply disturbs him. So this is where we're at. Your conservative George W. Bush, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he's been kissing the black posterior so much he needs a case of chapstick, and now he's a racist George. You know, please, George, give it a rest. You know, your mind is just not up to it anymore. You need to be in assisted living somewhere with someone changing your diapers, okay? Get those Depends out.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Bush, it is true, only the good die young. Nelson Mandela lived to be 300 years old. George H.W. Bush is 170. George Bush, W. Bush is 70 now. I mean, I was surprised when I was reading about his cucking that he was actually that old. He's old now, even by former president's standards.
Look, his father was the person that invented the term New World Order. And, of course,
that's right.
Georgie Porgy is falling right in those footsteps. He is an establishment elitist par excellence. No one's paying any attention to him. Thank heavens Trump is not that. Trump just needs to basically realize who his friends are and who his enemies are and cleave hard to those friends. And basically, you know, he doesn't have to come out and say just exactly what he thinks of his enemies, but he certainly doesn't need to give them any cause to celebrate, like, you know, a recusal for Jeff Sessions. I think that could be the...
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.